Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob, Pete, and Davey are all over the Tuesday slate. Best bets, DFS plays, and contrarian angles. What should Rantanen and McAvoy owners do? Cut the cord or hold? It's the Tuesday edition.
What's going on, everybody? Pete, Rob, and Davey Satriano in the house. They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing.
They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. Oh, Davey Sats, he's in the chair, and they don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. How you doing, Davey?
I think we can buy that on iTunes for like 99 cents, maybe. Chart topper for sure.
Well, welcome to the program, Davey. Good to have you on. Today is a very special day because I think all sports are going on this evening, so a lot of action to get to.
Yes, and double-digit game night in the National Hockey League, so we're excited about that. We can get creative with the DFS lineups. We each have our own to bring into the show. One thing I wanted to touch on right off the bat, though, is something that happened on Monday night that has me worried as a Mikko Rantanen owner. He went down with a leg injury. You don't make any drastic moves because we saw what happened with Barkov, right? We thought he might be out, and then he's back in on Tuesday. But for Rantanen, if you are forced to make a move in-house, who do you like?
I mean, there's, again, going back to the Barkov thing, there's nothing you can do in-house to replace a player of that caliber. You have to go out of house 100%. There's absolutely no option in-house that would even come close to that.
I think there's one, though, that we can consider, Burakovsky.
I like Burakovsky, but I kind of agree with Rob here. I think if you have him and you have to replace him, it's better just go out of house, choose another team, because there's no one that's going to do what he does on that team.
And Berkey's better on the left side anyway, so you can't get Gabe out of the driver hole. Maybe you do. I mean, there, like we always say, there's a million combinations they could possibly go with. In DFS, for sure, if Burakovsky gets that top spot, that is a great value play. But I think he's just a little bit too streaky in season long. If Rantanen was out for any extended amount of time, it probably wouldn't go too well.
You know who's hot? Konechny scored another got on the board again for the Flyers, who pulled the upset as predicted. And we had a nice clean sweep last night, Rob, between me, you, and Bobby B over here.
That's exactly right. Shout out to Bob B with the St. Louis Blues at home pick. That was money in the bank.
Giving out winners for decades, boys, for decades.
And, of course, Davey's a big-time winner, too, as we all know from last week. So turning ahead to tonight's games, we have San Jose, Buffalo. I know we were talking a little bit earlier before the show started that Buffalo kind of has this upper hand maybe on San Jose history-wise. Who do we like there tonight?
That's my upset of the night. I'm going with the Sabres. I think that counts as an upset, right? Against the Sharks?
I don't know. Mm. They just beat them the other day. Well, they actually beat them when they went 0-for-4 on the power play. So the trend continued where San Jose has one of the best penalty kills, I think the best right now, and Buffalo top five power play. It didn't matter. The Sabres still won.
The Sabres are slight favorites tonight, Davey, so it would not technically be an upset. So you got to look at the big board before you start flapping the gums.
Well, here's why the Sabres are going to win. Carter Hutton's going to get his third straight shutout tonight, which rarely happens in the NHL, but it's going to happen. Sabres, 18-2-1 at home against the Sharks in the last 21. I mean, if that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. So Sabres are going
to
win that one.
Okay, and to kind of pile onto that Sabres bandwagon, Victor Olofsson is a player that has emerged as one of the top wings in the National Hockey League through the first couple weeks here, granted. But his presence on the hash marks, on the circle, at the power play, with his release, is really game-changing for that Sabres team.
And it's amazing. I mean, so much of the talk coming into the year was about Jack Hughes or Kaapo Kakko. Who will be more valuable among forwards? You know who's been most valuable among rookie forwards? Victor Olofsson so far with that killer shot. I really like what he brings to the table. And unlike those two other guys, he has a chance to stick for the rest of the season, power play one and line one for Buffalo.
It's very true. And there is also a little road appeal, I think, for the Sharks, who we've seen play better in the last week or so. And a player that if you do want to get in your lineup, Pete and I like a lot tonight is it's coming to me in a vision. No, we have two separate guys in the lineup. I have Kevin LeBanc, and you pick Thomas Hertl for your center tonight.
I actually went all in on a duo that's now playing together in all situations and playing really well. Since Evander Kane came back, he's playing with Hertl at even strength. Evander Kane, for probably the first time in his career, is getting an extended power play one look in the net front presence, and he's been really productive. He'll get you like 5 to 7 shots any given night and could get a tip in playing that net front on the power play.
So moving right along, I have an upset. This one's on the board. The Wild are going to beat the Oilers tonight. Bob, is that a is that an upset?
My goodness.
Davey,
it would
again,
be an upset.
You have to look at the board. In fact, the Wild are favorite in that game.
No way. Are you serious?
Yes, they are.
No, how can that be?
Okay, well, in fact, now we're all in on Edmonton, obviously.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a couple lineups going tonight, and one of them features heavily. Well, actually, candidly, they all feature heavily Edmonton, the stack of McDavid and Draisaitl. I don't care what format you're playing, what platform you're playing. If you don't have those guys in your lineup right now, I don't know how you're playing DFS.
You know, it's you don't usually take two of the guys who are like among the five most expensive. But since you mentioned it, I might go and swap out my lineup and get something else going. I do have Koskinen or Mike Smith, 8,100, 8,000, depending on who starts. Edmonton has the sixth best team save percentage in the NHL right now. Something that I expect to continue against the Wild, who they're leader in goals and points right now is Brad Hunt. That is not a good situation.
So as I said, the Wild are favorites, -125 or -126 on the big boards, wherever you're looking, it depends. So when the line smells like fish, what do? You go the opposite way. Give me the Wild tonight at home over the Edmonton Oilers.
I like that play. Davey, are you convinced?
I'm convinced. I have Zucker. He scored a goal after that. He called out the coach, the team. I think he has a big game. Ryan Suter has a big game. So I'm going with the Wild tonight. And actually, Rob, to bring up what you said about stacking McDavid, Draisaitl, I did a contest, a free contest on FanDuel on Sunday night. I stacked a lot of Oilers and Jets, and what happened there? It was a 0-0 game into a shootout. Who thought that would have 0-0 between those two teams? So that was not a pretty – that was not a pretty one for me.
Ultra rare double shutout game. And yeah, I guess that's the risk you run. You're a big dog, you're playing a big lineup, and you could lay an egg if you do stack.
And does that not put DFS NHL in a nutshell with Davey with the second place silver medal on Thursday and then Sunday disastrous outing?
It was 31 out of 31, I'll admit it.
To kind of keep the theme of contrarian storylines for DFS going, I saw yesterday Frank Vetrano was gifted a Rolex, some cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and there was a huge bottle of wine, too, from Sergei Bobrovsky for the 72 jersey number. Very valuable there, as we all know, for Bob. So I like Frank Vetrano to get on the board against Pittsburgh tonight. Again, this is a total digging beneath the surface kind of play, but I've got him in the lineup.
It's weird, too, though, that like Trocheck is banged up. 124 hours ago, we thought Barkov was the one who's banged up, but he's pretty much been confirmed to play on Tuesday, which is really good news for the Florida Panthers that top line could be intact. They also signed Brian Boyle, who can be kind of like a stopgap for them during some of these injury issues. I like the Panthers at home in this game. I know the Penguins usually play well on those Florida road trips. They got a lot of fans in the building, but I'm going Panthers here. I like their mojo right now.
I like the Panthers, too, but I do have Chris Letang because Carlson was a little too expensive, and Letang, for me, is next up there on the guy will get a multi-points, you know. But Vetrano, at least we know he's not going to be late for practice, right? He's got that watch now, so
it's true. Be able to you can't be late with a Rolex watch. There's no doubt about it, Davey boy. For Toronto tonight, they're on the second of a back-to-back. They're playing Boston, who, as we all know, has been scoring, but it's only been their top line that's been scoring. So is there any appeal of taking Toronto, who I assume is a dog in this game, if our producer can confirm that? But, you know, with Boston and their top line, if that gets shut down, is there a chance that Toronto could win this game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they beat them the other day. They're going to have a little extra edge. They just lost to Columbus. That sort of thing shouldn't happen 9 times out of 10. So I expect a nice response here from the Maple Leafs, who seem to be charged up but then fell flat. Again, remember, John Tavares is out. You're going to miss him on the power play. You're going to miss him at even strength. The Leafs didn't draw a penalty against the Bruins on Saturday and then went 0-for-2 against the Jackets. So I think there's some bounce-back appeal to the Maple Leafs' power play here with a little edge to them.
I think the Bruins are going to win, but I don't have anyone on either of these teams because this is one of those games where I just want to go home and watch and enjoy it and not have to worry about, oh, I need this, I need this. So I'm looking at that game and circle it and say, this is where I'm sitting back.
And one season-long thing I wanted to bring up for this game on the roundtable here is Charlie McAvoy has been really tough to start this season. Now, he's logging a lot of big minutes, which is good to see, encouraging, but I don't think he has a point so far through their first 10, 11 games, whatever it's been. Is that a player that you have to hold on to just because he has the valuable exposure? Or if you're falling behind now, maybe you're 0-2, you know, do you cut the cord on him and try and get like a waiver wire guy?
I think you hold on to him, especially if you're in a hits league. You never know if Torrey Krug goes down with an injury. If someone goes down with an injury on Boston's blue line, which has been decimated multiple times in recent years with injuries. So you hang on to Charlie McAvoy. You hope that the big ice time usage pays off over the long haul. But like you mentioned, I think he had an assist on opening night, and he's had goose eggs ever since. So that's really concerning for a young player that we all had tabbed as a breakout guy, especially in Torrey Krug's contract year. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like this year you're seeing a lot of teams drop players very quickly. One league I'm in, Gostisbehere got dropped too. I mean, because he's struggling, you're going to get him. As we know, the goalies, not that I'm surprised about Quick and Devan Dubnyk, but there have been guys, Holpe's drop. I mean, people are doing this really too quickly. Yeah. We're in the second week of the season. You got to give it a little time.
On that same theme, I know that Bufflin's been out there in a lot of leagues. This is kind of an ongoing storyline for fantasy owners. Is there appeal in picking him up and trying to stash him, or is that a player that you can't have on your bench? I mean, he's back to, so for everybody that's not aware, his status was changed to day-to-day on Monday, and people were thinking it was a sign of him coming back. Then they switched it back to suspended on Yahoo, so you can't put him on IR Plus anymore unless you hit that little quick 2-hour window. So is that a player that you should stay away from? Like, I candidly have no idea what to do with Bufflin.
Yeah, Yahoo was playing a little some mind games with the fantasy owners out there on Monday, but there has been some speculation about Bufflin. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter if you have a not active spot or if you can stash him. If you have an open bench spot and you have a roster spot to play with, I would go and pick up Bufflin just in case. I mean, right now I saw they're rotating Neil Pionk and Morrissey on the first power play. I think they're going to be trying to get this guy back if he has the willingness to play, if he's healthy. And in my fantasy football league, I still have a bench spot for Rob Gronkowski. So similar situation maybe where you try to bite the bullet now and hope it pays off for you over the long haul.
I have Bufflin in one league. I stashed him. He's just taking a spot right now, but that's something I say, hey, if he comes back in a week, 2 weeks, what he's going to give me is worth the 2 weeks I had a spot used for him. So
another interesting matchup tonight, we have the Arizona Coyotes facing the New York Rangers. Clearly the Coyotes are one of the hottest teams in the NHL over the past week. Their goaltending looks to be unstoppable. Now their offense is chipping in. Should we have some players from the Yotes tonight?
Yeah, I think you can get Clayton Keller in there. He's a moderate price. We were looking at him. He doesn't have a goal yet this season. That's going to happen in a matter of time. He has been salvaging his value, though, in the meantime with a bunch of assists. I think he's got 6 assists in 7 games. And the Coyotes, I know you like their goaltending. We both like them at large for the season. You like them tonight. I saw that they have the best team save percentage in the NHL right now.
You can't go wrong with rostering Darcy Kemper in DFS, especially because his price is cheap tonight, which I was really, really kind of almost concerned about in a way, making me think maybe the Rangers and Kaapo Kakko are going to finally break through offensively after their, I think, their first 2 games of the regular season. They kind of put the goals on and then, you know, stopped pedaling the gas so much. But yeah, I think Kemper's a safe play. I mean, you got to ride the hot hand, and there's no hotter hand goalie-wise than Darcy Kemper right now.
I think his streak of, you know, allowing 2 goals or fewer might end tonight, but I do think the Coyotes are going to win. As you said, the Rangers had like, you know, 12 goals in their first 2 games. They only played 4 games in 2 weeks or something, so they're kind of getting into, they're playing a bunch of games now, so I think they're going to start clicking offensively, but I do think they win, and I take Kemper.
And following the season-long suit here, is Kaapo Kakko, you know, is that a player that you have to hang on to, or how much longer do you give this guy to get going?
Give him another week and a half, 2 weeks. I know it sounds like a long time for a guy who has a very low floor right now, has not been producing in multiple categories, clearly not bringing the points so far other than that one goal against Edmonton on the Saturday. But, yeah, I would hang on to him. I have him in one league. There's some lucrative options out there on the waiver wire, but I'm standing pat for now with Kakko.
I have Kakko on one team, and I'm in the same boat, Pete. He's really frustrating me, but I said, you know what? The Rangers have played a few games. We'll give it a week, and then I'll assess at that point.
And I mentioned Keller earlier. We got an Instagram question from a fan. Keller, Drouin, or Stasny? These are all guys in our top 100 forward rankings this week. Stasny, new addition. Who do you like the most out of those three?
I like Clayton Keller, and it's by a long shot. Number one, Clayton Keller, for sure. When that Arizona team broke through, it looks like they're going to stay that way. So I would go Keller. And number two, if Keller has been picked up already, I would go Jonathan Drouin. He's got what I would say really is the highest pedigree of the bunch, just because I think we still kind of have that memory of him and Junior putting up crazy, crazy numbers. And you're kind of getting the sense this year with Claude Julien giving him preferential treatment with lines and power play placement that could be a 70-plus point player. So I would go Keller 1 again to reiterate, and then Drouin 2 with the token of maybe a little bit higher upside, but it's a lot riskier too.
I actually really like Drouin for all the reasons you just said, Rob, so I don't really have to say much. But I do think Keller is going to turn it around, but it seems like the Coyotes so far, they've just been getting scoring from every – it's a team effort, so I don't know how much – you know, is he going to have to do the heavy lifting? I don't really know. But Drouin for the Canadiens, I think he's, you know, one of their leaders.
I think Stasny has some nice appeal here. You look at the production of Stone, Pacioretty. I know they got broken up a little bit in that bad game against the Flyers on Monday, but that's a stable line. I'm going Keller first, then I'm going Stasny second, and then Drouin just clinging to a top 100 spot right now for an up-and-down Montreal team.
And then we have Vancouver facing Detroit tonight. Detroit, one of the kind of most depleted teams, it looks like, on paper at the moment. Facing a Vancouver team that's been a little bit up and down lately, but mostly trending up. So I have Elias Pettersson as a center tonight option. His price is great on both platforms this evening.
Yeah, it's funny. We look at the top line of both teams as being potent, and it was the first few games for Detroit, but in our line rankings this week, Vancouver's top line passed them. I think we can all agree that's the right move, and that's the better top line entering this matchup. Seems like things are drying up for Detroit right now. I was even looking at, like, Athanasiou has not really done much, missed a little time earlier in the year with an injury, and has not replicated or shown signs of it, of that 30-goal season last year.
You know, I was on the Mantha train earlier. I actually drafted him in a lot of my leagues. I didn't think he was going to score 40. I thought 30 was possible. And now you look at it and say, this is the Detroit team we've seen the last two or three years. It's kind of getting to that point already early, which is, you know, disappointing if you have some of those Detroit players.
And how quickly things change in the NHL, because we had the Anaheim Ducks who were playing the Nashville Predators tonight, and the Ducks kind of came out a little bit slow and shaky, but now they look pretty hard to play against. They look hard to score against with one of the, if not the best goalie in John Gibson in the National Hockey League. So Nashville a little banged up. Forsberg still remains day-to-day. With a lower body injury, I believe. So if he doesn't play, I do like Anaheim road appeal there against Nashville.
I do too. I do think, though, that especially in DFS, check out Kyle Turris's price. It's pretty low. He's taking over for Philip Forsberg for as long as he's out. Moving from center to the wing, this is a guy that used to be fantasy relevant but has been pretty bad the past few years after being traded to Nashville. But I think has, what, points in three straight games looks to be a reclamation project for Nashville moving to the wing, a little pressure off of him as opposed to playing center.
I think that's a good pick. As you said, he's kind of been an afterthought since the trade. You know, they got Duchesne. They have, when Forsberg's healthy, Arvidsson. So that's a good play.
Yeah, I had I made that pick on NHL.com/fantasy. You can see our picks on this show in the article, NHL.com/fantasy. Look for NHL DFS picks.
One thing I wanted to mention, so we love Nashville's defense every single year. Of course, Subban's out of the picture now. Their leading scorer by far right now is Ryan Ellis. It's not Roman Josi. It's not Matthias Ekholm. I have Ryan Ellis in one of my leagues. He has four straight multi-assist games. I love it.
Would you trade him for Roman Josi?
Right now? Yeah, probably. I would. That would be a good sell high to trick the opposing fantasy owner, because Roman Josi is definitely the guy that you'd rather have over the long haul. But we've seen big performances from Ryan Ellis a couple of postseasons ago, a couple of regular seasons ago. He's a 45-50 point guy in his current lineup placement.
I think, Pete, the league you have him in is our work league, where you only get – it's a points-only league. And he has like 8 or 9 points for you in 4 games. So that's been pretty good. And I agree with you. If you can sell high on him, why not?
Kings at Winnipeg Jets tonight. Winnipeg, usually a pretty good home team. Hellebuck is looking like a pretty safe play there. But I will say Ilya Kovalchuk for the Los Angeles Kings has quietly been producing lately. The power play has a little bit of appeal – obviously with the name stays on the back end. Mm-hmm. But I think Kovalchuk, if you can have that $4,200 price point open to round out, he's not a bad value play.
No, he's not. He's boom or bust so far, but that's what the Kings are as a team. They're the second most shots on goal per game, which is pretty impressive considering some of the loaded offenses out there. I know it's early, but Kovalchuk, yeah, three power play points so far. Don't pick this guy up if you're in a season-long league with plus-minus. I mean, my goodness, he's -8, so don't do that. But if you're in a points-only league, if you're playing DFS, like Rob mentioned, round out your lineup with Kovey, who, take last year away, this guy's a point-per-game player in his NHL career.
Yeah, the Kings, we've seen what, they were shut out twice in two games or three games, but I think it's a good play tonight. They're going to be pretty cheap, and you mentioned the Jets are usually a good home team, which is true, but they've struggled this year, so I think, you know, this might be the game where the Kings turn it around.
So we faded the Golden Knights on Monday night against Philly. They have a back-to-back tonight. They play in Chicago. I know, Davey, you like Pat Kane this evening. Pete, I think we all like Pat Kane every evening.
Yes.
Is Chicago, you know, a little nice bounce-back spot for them at home against the Golden Knights, who are starting Fleury, though?
Yeah, Fleury's coming off a shutout to the Penguins, his former team, but I think that there are going to be a lot of goals scored in this game. You're talking about two of the six most shots on goal per game between these two clubs. Vegas, second of a back-to-back. Chicago's striving for better results. I like getting Kirby Doc in my lineup and maybe offsetting the price of a DeBrinket or a Kane. That's what I would do. I would also try to get a Golden Knights player in there because I think this is going to be a 5-3 type game. Probably the Golden Knights will win, but the Hawks won't go down without a fight.
I have Kane, but I also have Strome because I figured, you know, this could be the game where he gets on the board. But I do agree with you. You know, both teams, well, Chicago in particular, they're coming off that loss to the Capitals, and I think they're going to – this game is kind of – not a must-win for them, but they've struggled early, and this is kind of a statement game, I guess. So I think Chicago's going to win.
I agree with you, Davey. I like the term statement game for them in this spot. Now, a lot of people on Twitter have been asking me Corey Crawford or Robin Lehner rest of season. A lot of Crawford owners are looking at Robin Lehner available on the waiver wire and thinking, should I make this move now? For me, that's still a little bit too early. If there's way you can get them as a tandem, I'd feel safer about it, but I don't think it, confidently I couldn't say to you right now, drop Crawford and grab Lehner and ride that for the rest of the season.
I would say neither to those two. I'm not trying to be mean to the Blackhawks, but their defense is shaky. I don't trust them on a game-to-game basis. I know they've played fewer games than most of the teams in the league. The defense is a weak point, and it's crazy when you look at Buffalo now. They, like Henry Yokoharu, who they just gave away to him, young defenseman, had two assists in the game against the Sharks the other day. He's a dark horse DFS play tonight against the same team, and you got to wonder what the Blackhawks were thinking shipping off that young defenseman.
I think Petey has a relationship with Stan Bowman, Jeremy Colleton. Doesn't want to be mean to the Blackhawks. I mean, let's be honest here.
I mean, I picked them to make the playoffs, so I mean, I'm kind of going backwards here.
We're not in preschool, and I'm just saying, you know what, Petey? I got to look in further into what your relationship is with the Blackhawks here.
Look into the payroll. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm with Pete on this one a little bit. Their defense is so shot. You know, not to take away from the veteran guys again, we're going preschool here. I don't want to be mean. I want everyone to feel all right today on this Tuesday. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a team that's going to allow a lot of goals for the rest of the season. Yeah. So in DFS, I don't care if their opposing team is on a second of a back-to-back or not, or if they're playing the Ottawa Senators or not, I still like some road grain appeal. And Jonathan Marchessault is a guy that scored in garbage time last night against the Flyers. Look for that line to maybe get a little pop out of Gallant tonight because Stone and Patches might be a little tired from the heavy ice time. So Marchessault on the road against Chicago, lock it.
Going back to the goalies real quick, Crawford, if he's healthy, then we're all thrown for a loop now because people were saying, you know, Lehner is going to be the guy. He won the Vezina, you know, he was a Vezina finalist, blah, blah, blah. But I think you're right. The defense is the problem. If you're going to own them, you would need them in a tandem, but I would say right now just stay away.
Is it at the point where you would drop one of those guys, Crawford or Lehner, for Thatcher Demko?
I probably would.
I would too.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get to our lineup here, the only game we didn't mention, Capitals at Flames, is actually my third stack of the night. I'm spending up for John Carlson, who's off to a historic pace right now with 18 points in his first 10 games. I'm stacking him with the moderately priced TJ Oshie. So my three stacks are Carlson and Oshie, Evander Kane and Tomas Hertl, and Kirby Doc with a guy on the other line, Alex DeBrincat. Then I'm rounding out my lineup with Ilya Kovalchuk for 4,300. Rasmus Dahlin, 5,600. I'm surprised he's not priced higher. And then I'm going Mikko Koskinen in a game that I think Edmonton's offense will outscore Minnesota without question.
I've got centers Dylan Strome and Marcus Johansson. I said the Sabres are going to beat the Sharks. Wing, Jason Zucker, Pat Kane, Tom Wilson. There's one for you, Rob.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, baby.
Defense, Suter, Letang, and Carter Hutton in goal.
That is a contrarian lineup. I love it. That's low ownership, but that might have you at the top of the board, Davey. My lineup, a little bit high ownership, but let's roll with it here. I've got Connor McDavid. I've got Elias Pettersson, Leon Draisaitl, Kevin Money LeBanc, Zach Aston Reese, Rhoda Peel. I don't even know why he's in my lineup, but he is. JT Miller, Darnell Nurse, Sean Daniel Walker, and Darcy Regier Kemper.
Beautiful. Golf clap for all your DFS picks. And now,
I like the nicknames.
And now we're ready for our best bets. So let's whip around the table. Petey, I'll start with you. Best bets for a Tuesday.
I think that Alexander Barkov is not only going to get his first goal of the season, I think he's going to get his first and his second coming back into the lineup. And I think the Florida Panthers will beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins have done a remarkable job without Galchenyuk and Malkin. That said, the longer this thing lingers on, the more they're going to feel that absence. And I don't think they're going to keep up their current pace. So I'm going with the Cats and Bobrovsky and Barkov over the Penguins at home.
And I'm throwing a parlay to the table to digest. I've got Edmonton on the road parlayed with Vancouver on the road.
Minnesota's winning that game. That's my lock of the night. And secondly, that's a good one. That's wild. And we're going with Washington, Calgary over. That should be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one too.
Okay, I like that, Davey.
Okay, our best bets. And this one is brought to you by Bob Bender. Hold your nose. Hold your nose and close your eyes. And as Davey said, take the Minnesota Wild at home tonight. And the second of Bob Bender's best bets, I'll take the over in that Vegas-Chicago game. A lot of chances, tons of chances. Give me the over in that one.
That's an obvious one to me. I'm on Bob's back with that one, with the Vegas-Chicago.
Is there an under on the board tonight? Can we get an under for the people that like betting unders?
Vancouver-Detroit.
1-0?
Probably 2-1.
Okay, 2-1. Lock it in. Under in the Vancouver game.
I'd take a look at game one of the World Series tonight. Garrett Cole with Scherzer on the hill. Or is it Strasburg tonight?
I think Scherzer? They're going Scherzer.
Scherzer. Has to be Scherzer. Give me the under in that one.
Okay, now we're picking baseball, NBA. Stay tuned for that. Premium access only for NBA picks, too. But hit us up on Twitter. We'll answer more lineup questions and best bets. I'm at NHL Reese. Pete's at NHL Jensen. And Dave is at David Satriano.
Thanks for coming on again, Dave. Short notice, call to the bullpen, came through for us, man. You got the save.
On the fly, line change. That's what we do here.
They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. Davey Sats.
I think we can close out by saying we're up to 141 reviews on Apple Podcasts. We're only 9 away from 150, so let's get it this week, boys.
And hit up the Fantasy on Ice podcast hotline. We're going to start playing some of your voicemails this week. 917-830-8114. Remember, check out the other podcasts in the podcast network, Executive Suite, Draft Class, and At the Rink. So for Bob Bender, Davey Satriano, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, talk to you again on Thursday here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.